ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। द्रव्ययज्ञास्तपोयज्ञा योगयज्ञास्तथा परे स्वाध्याय ज्ञानयज्ञाश्च यतयः संसितव्रता। वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग द्रव्य यज्ञ सैक्रिफाइसिंग वन्स पोजेशंस, तपः यज्ञ सैक्रिफाइस इन ऑस्टेरिटीज, योग यज्ञ sacrifice in eightfold mysticism, tatha thus, apare others, swadhyaya sacrifice in the study of the Vedas, jnana yagya sacrifice in advancement of transcendental knowledge, cha also, yatayaha, enlightened persons, shanshita vrata, taken to strict vows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions, and others by performing severe austerities, by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. Purport. These sacrifices may be fitted into various divisions. There are persons who are sacrificing their possessions in the form of various kinds of charities. In India, the rich mercantile community or princely orders open various kinds of charitable institutions like Dharmashala, Annakshetra, Atithishala, Anathalaya and Vidyapit. In other countries too, there are many hospitals, old age homes and similar charitable foundations meant for distributing food, education and medical treatment free to the poor. All these charitable activities are called Dravyamaya Yajna. There are others who for higher elevation in life or for promotion to higher planets within the universe voluntarily accept many kinds of austerities such as Chandrayan and Chaturmasya. These processes entail severe vows for conducting life under rigid rules, certain rigid rules. For example, under the Chaturmasya vow, the candidate does not shave for 4 months during the year, July to October. He does not eat certain foods, does not eat twice in a day, or does not leave home. Such sacrifice of the comforts of life is called Tapomaya Yajna. There are still others who engage themselves in different kinds of mystic yogas like the Patanjali system for merging into the existence of the Absolute, or Hatha Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga for particular perfections. And some travel to the sanctified places of pilgrimage. All these practices are called Yoga Yajna. Sacrifice for a certain type of perfection in the material world. There are others who engage themselves in the study of various Vedic literatures, specifically the Upanishads and the Vedanta Sutras, or the Sankhya philosophy. All of these are called Swadhyaya Yajna, or engagement in the sacrifice of studies. All these yogis are faithfully engaged in different types of sacrifice and are seeking a higher status of life. Krishna consciousness, however, is different from these because it is the direct service of the Supreme Lord. Krishna consciousness cannot be attained by any one of the above mentioned types of sacrifice, but can be attained only by the mercy of the Lord and his bona fide devotees. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is transcendental. Let us chant the Mangalacharan prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsya हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. Welcome all of you for this evening's Bhagavad Gita class. Many else senior devotees are also here. So we seek your blessings to be able to glorify and speak on this topic today. So this verse from 4th chapter is in continuation to a series of verses that Lord Krishna is speaking on the topic of various types of sacrifices. The chapter is entitled Transcendental Knowledge, and it starts with Lord Krishna describing how this knowledge has been coming down in the chain of disciplic succession. And in due course, it was lost. And which happens in this material world, this is the effect of time. Things get diluted or lost. And therefore, it necessitates the dissemination of knowledge again by the Lord. And that's why Lord Krishna is giving this knowledge again to Arjun. And because Arjun is a devotee and a friend of the Lord, he is a suitable candidate to receive this transcendental knowledge. And then of course we have heard Arjun ask the question naturally that how is it possible that you give this knowledge to sun god even though you are very young compared, sun god was born much before, millions of years ago, and you just appeared, it's like you are equal to my age. So how do I believe that you gave this knowledge to sun god? So then Krishna says that you and all both have taken many births in the past. I remember all of them, but you don't remember because he is the Lord. So he's telling that in the past I have given, not in this appearance, but in the previous appearances. And then he goes on to describe that I appear in this material creation again and again. Whenever there is a decline of religion, I appear and establish the principles of religion. Yada yada hi dharmasya, those verses are there. And then he tells that my janma, my birth and my activities, they are transcendental, which is a very important verse. And one who understands that, he will not take birth again. And then the next series of verses, they describe the characteristic of a person who is in transcendental knowledge. Like what kind of symptoms he will have. He will be working in this material world without any attachment. He also describes what is action, what is inaction, what is forbidden action, and how a person who is properly situated should act and what kind of consciousness should have. And then that takes us to the verse number 24. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagano brahmanahutam brahmaivatena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. This verse is very complex. The word Brahma comes many times. The essence of this verse is that the whole life of a person should be completely absorbed in Brahma. Brahma here means transcendence. Means all his mind, body, work, all activities he does, what he thinks. If a person is doing an activity in complete absorption of the absolute truth, then whatever he does and by whatever means he does, everything becomes transcendental. Even if he may be using material things, but if he is in transcendental consciousness, even that material thing is considered spiritual. Just like Srila Prabhupada, everything about him is spiritual. Because he is using everything in that spiritual consciousness. That's what makes the difference. It may still be composed of material ingredients, but the way it's used, Srila Prabhupada's room, his books, and all the great devotees, the harmonium, the kirtal, because they are being used with a transcendental consciousness, that everything gets spiritualized. And that is the essence of the verse. And that followed by a number of verses from verse number 25 to I think 33 or 34, where different types of sacrifices are described. Different type of yajna is described. Because in the case of this verse, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavi, we are talking about sacrifice. That one, that sacrifice, everything that is used in the sacrifice, the person who is using it, the fire, the oblations, the havi, the ghee, everything is spiritual. So it's followed by a number of verses here where different type of sacrifices are described. People in different consciousness, how they do the sacrifices. So before we proceed to discuss this particular verse, let us understand what really mean by sacrifice. Because that is the key to all these verses. In the common parlance, especially in India, when we talk about sacrifice, the Hindi meaning is yajna. When we say yajna, people generally understand some fire is there and something is poured and some mantras are chanted. That's all is meant by yajna. Common people understand like this. Initiation when happens, so some yajna is done. In marriage ceremony, some yajna is done. Any sanskar, upanayan sanskar, annaprashan sanskar, karna chedan sanskar, some yajna is performed. Or any auspicious activity, people do some yajna. This is the common understanding that people have of yajna. But according to Bhagavad Gita and our scriptures, it's a much, much broader term than just this sacrifice. This is called actually fire sacrifice. That is fire sacrifice. But the sacrifice is much broader and much bigger term. The word yajna itself has multiple meanings, and the one meaning is Vishnu. Yajna means Vishnu, Krishna. And the other meaning of yajna is an activity that is meant to please Krishna is also yajna. Yajna vaisaha, it is said in the Vedas. He, the yajna, and Krishna is yajna purush. So he is the personification of yajna. He is meant to be pleased by yajna. When we do some yajna, some sacrifice, it is Krishna who is supposed to be pleased. He is the beneficiary of the yajna. So this broader meaning we should have in our mind when we are talking about yajna. Because we will see here different type of yajnas, and most of them will not relate to this just fire sacrifice. So the definition is an activity that is meant for some higher purpose is called an yajna. When it's meant ultimately to please Krishna, that is the topmost yajna. But there are other purposes also, like some people perform yajna for promotion to higher planetary systems or for getting some material benefit. That is also an yajna, but it's a lower category. So there are various categories. It's a big spectrum of yajna, the different kind of yajna people can perform. It's just like we have various types of yoga systems. We have Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Hatha Yoga, and ultimately Bhakti Yoga. Similarly, we also have various types of yajna. So with this in mind, the next verse here, verse number 25 after 24, it tells about the two kinds of people who perform yajna, one who worship demigods and other who worship the impersonal Brahman. So one are worshipping the demigods for some material benefits, other are worshipping the Brahman for merging into the absolute truth, the absolute effulgence. And then it goes on to describe the yajnas that are performed by the householders and the brahmacharis. Says that some sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. So they are referred here to the brahmacharis who sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. Means the brahmacharis are supposed to practice mental control. Means not engage the senses in the sense objects. The eyes are meant to see, ears are meant to hear, tongue is meant for taste, like that. Every sense has an engagement with the sense object. And the brahmacharis are supposed to have the control so that they don't engage the senses in the sense objects. Householders are supposed to engage the senses in the sense objects, but in a controlled and regulated manner, as prescribed by the scriptures. So that is also an yajna. So this is all yajna. When we are doing this sense control is a type of yajna. And then it goes on to describe that there are others who want even higher than that. Those who want self-realization, they practice complete sense control of the mind, complete control of the mind. That is also yajna. And then we come to this verse. I am not going into the details of the previous verses, just giving a context because those have been discussed in the previous classes here. Now coming to the today's verse, there are four types of yajna described. One is Dravya Yajna, then Tapo Yajna, then Yoga Yajna, and then Swadhyaya Yajna. Dravya Yajna is, Dravya means matter, material things, padarth. So sacrificing some matter or some material things or some possessions is called Dravya Yajna in a very small sentence. And here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that in India the rich mercantile community or princely order often open the charitable institutions like Dharmashala, Annadan, Atithishala, Anathale, all these things. This is a type of yajna. Now, these type of yajnas, they may not be of the highest order, but they are still yajna. It's a type of yajna because giving something away, we progress a little bit. When we are possessing something and we give it away, then it's considered a pious activity. It's recommended in our Vedas and it brings some pious credit to the person. This is called Dravya Yajna. Now, before we go for other yajnas, let me also explain that the sacrifices can be done in various modes of material nature. In 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's also described that the sacrifice performed in different modes brings different results. And in mode of goodness, a person does the sacrifice according to the scriptures without any desire for any gain. That is called a sacrifice in mode of goodness. When a person does sacrifice with expecting some return and also out of pride, that is called in mode of passion. And when someone does a sacrifice without following the injunctions of the scriptures, without considering the time, place, circumstances, that is mostly in the mode of ignorance, without following the instructions of the scriptures. So, for this Dravya Yajna, we also see there are various types of people who may do Dravya Yajna, but with different consciousness. And that will bring different results. So you see how many combinations it becomes. We also already have four in this verse, four types of yajna. And each of them considered in three modes of material nature makes it 12. So just 12 types of sacrifices here in this verse. And there are other verses where different sacrifices are mentioned. So see, this is a very vast spectrum of yajna. Now let us discuss this a little bit more. Dravya Yajna, if a person comes and gives some dravya, it's called charity. Now that charity, if he is giving without expecting anything in return, then that will be in mode of goodness. But we see that many people give charity so that they get some name and fame. Or they think that if I give charity, I will be promoted to higher planetary systems. Or some good will happen to my children. Or my business is running nicely. If I do some charity, I will get blessings and my business will continue to run nicely or will progress. So that kind of yajna is in mode of passion. Sometimes people just do out of pride. Because other person is doing, I must also give something in charity so that nobody will feel that I am very miser. People do because of that also. Oh, my relative, he donated 5 lakh rupees there, I must also donate. So this is out of pride. Or some people just want to show off to the other that I am a big donor. And they do the sacrifice, this Dravya Yajna. That is in mode of passion. So we see with this understanding we can study. We can understand the different consciousness people have when doing the sacrifice. But there may be a genuine devotee or a good Brahman. He understands that it's all I have received by Krishna's blessings. And it's my duty to offer it back to him. So he offers it back without expecting anything in return. And that is in mode of goodness. Mode of ignorance, not knowing whom to give charity, without considering the proper person whom to give, out of ignorance, just somewhere something came in mind, gave something, even to unworthy persons who will misuse it. So he has given charity, he has donated something. Many times we see you give charity to some drunkards, they are begging, give it to them and they will go and drink. So that kind of charity becomes in mode of ignorance because we are not considering the beneficiary of the charity. So in mode of ignorance. So this is Dravya Yajna. And the highest would be the devotees may also do Dravya Yajna with a higher consciousness to please Krishna, thinking that everything that I have received belongs to him and should be used in his service. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Manas Deha Gaha Joki Chumor Arpilu Tuva Pade Nanda Kishore. This is Dravya Yajna because Geha is Dravya, the house is kind of matter, every arterial other possessions that we have, but offering back to Krishna because it belongs to you. Everything that I have belongs to you. This is transcendental. This is not in none of the modes. It's above all that. Dravya Yajna. Same Dravya Yajna, but performed in different modes and above the modes will have different results. Now next is Tapo Yajna. So this Dravya is giving is Dravya is also an Yajna. Even though there is no fire sacrifice happening, but this is a Yajna. Giving charity is Yajna. Now Tapasya, austerity. And Śrī Prabhupāda writes here that there are others who for higher elevation in life or for promotion to higher planets within the universe voluntarily accept many kinds of austerities such as Chandrayan and Chaturmasya. So these are the two breaths, the two vows are mentioned here in the purport, but there are many more. It's just an example is given. So accepting some austerity voluntarily is called tapasya. Now tapasya is also done in various modes of nature. And 17th chapter again it's described. And for example, someone doing some tapasya, like a normal Brahman who follows the Vedic regulations, he has some rules and regulations in his life, gets up early in the morning, goes, takes Ganga bath, comes and chants some mantras, does some prayers, lives a pious life, practices sense control, does not eat unnecessary things, very regulated life. He is doing some tapasya, getting up early, following some restrictions, following brahmacharya. This is all tapasya. This is a mode of goodness. A person doing tapasya in mode of passion would be someone working very hard. And to work very hard is tapasya. So, but that is a mode of passion because it's accepting the austerities but for sense gratification. Because the whole purpose is sense gratification. I will go through this hardship, work very hard so that I get this money and then I can enjoy. And that's what they do. When as soon as they get money, immediately they will start making plans. Now I want to weekend time, Saturday, Sunday, holidays. I go to this restaurant, go to that restaurant, that park, I'll go vacation here and there, eat here, eat that. All these plans they make. So they do tapasya, but that is a mode of passion. Then there are the mode of ignorance would be those who do tapasya for some destructive purposes. Not having any understanding why they are working hard. Means they don't even understand why they are doing. In the mode of passion, they know, I will get the money. I will do like a donkey works very hard, doesn't know why he is working very hard. So some people could have very easily lived a comfortable life, but they work very hard in mode of ignorance. And these demoniac people also in mode of ignorance, like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, and they also do very big tapasya. And even today, I have seen in South India, in Tamil Nadu, there is a festival they celebrate. It's called Thai Pusham. Has anyone heard about that? Thai Pusham. It's famous in Tamil Nadu. They worship Lord Kartikeya. And that's a good example of austerity, tapasya, in mode of ignorance. What they do is, I have seen this in Singapore, because I stayed there for 3 years, so every year in January time, one day they do this festival, and they will have these arrows, actually spike, the bicycle spikes like that, long iron rods, very small diameter, and pointed at one end. They will pierce through their bodies, many, and they will make a big, some, how to say, like you pierce 5-6 here, it will come out like this, then on the back side, and this side, and then on the top you have something. So you are, then they, on the top they will carry a kalash, and the whole weight of that will go through the spikes in your body. It's pierced, actually pierced. And some of them will pierce through the tongue, some of them pierce through the foot, completely inside out. Tongue, they will pierce actually from this side to that side. It looks very ghastly. Just imagine this kind of, you see this kind of person. And there will be many who will perform this kind of austerity. And their history is, they say, there was one, some devotee of Lord Kartikeya in old days, and who went through the forest with a lot of difficulty. There were thorns, and he went and offered milk in a kalash to Lord Kartikeya, and his desires were fulfilled. So to simulate that austerity, they do all this, that I am doing a lot of austerity, and they will carry the procession like this to 2-3 kilometers, walk, and then offer that milk in a kalash to another temple of Lord Kartikeya. And they think that now I have done a lot of austerity, so my desires will be fulfilled. And after coming out, once they remove all that, they will start smoking and all that again. So this is austerity, tapasya, but it's a mode of ignorance. So people are there, that's one example, but I am sure there will be many others. There are some tribals who do very tough austerities, they do it in mode of ignorance completely. So austerity, this, it's an yajna, but it's of a very low level. Low level. People may, that's why you see people argue so much about Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita says this also, Bhagavad Gita says that also, Bhagavad Gita says so many things. But one has to understand the gradation, the level, which is higher, which is lower, which is for what purpose. Without that understanding, when we say Bhagavad Gita says that, that itself is not enough. Bhagavad Gita says so many things for different kind of people. There are people who in mode of ignorance, they cannot understand. Like these people who are performing this austerity of piercing their bodies, it will be so easy, just come and chant, you will get much more benefit. They will not do that. But they are ready to do this tough austerity which gets them nothing. So this is their consciousness. So this is tapo yajna. Various kinds of austerities. Some are like observing some strict vows. We see some people fast on Sundays, some people fast on Mondays. Some people, there are in Jains, I have heard, there are many who fast on alternate days. Every alternate day they will fast fully. They eat only one day and then don't eat anything the other day, and like that goes on. It's austerity. Here it's mentioned about Chaturmasya, which most of us are familiar. We follow certain regulations. Some devotees follow more strictly, some follow a little less. Like here it's mentioned that to not shave for the 4 months, stay in one place, eat only once a day. There are strict regulations, but the minimum that have been prescribed and followed in our society is we at least don't eat leafy vegetables in the first month, then yogurt in the second month, milk in the third month, and urad dal and some lentils in the fourth month. Some more who follow in the last 5 days, Bhishma Panchak, do little more tougher austerity for the Chaturmasya. So these are all austerities of Chaturmasya. Chandrayan is another vrat, which means just like the moon. Chandrayan is, it comes from Chandra, the moon. The moon, from the Purnima, if you start, Purnima it's full moon. and every day it reduces. So one should reduce one's meal as the moon reduces. So Purnima day you eat full, next day you reduce little bit, next day you reduce, like that you keep reducing your diet. When it comes to Amavasya you don't eat anything, then again you increase until it again becomes Purnima. This breath is called Chandrayan. Because you see, just like the Chandrama follows, you eat, you regulate your diet accordingly. So that description is not given, only the name is given, but that is Chandrayan breath. In this way, there are many breaths in our Vedic literatures. And in India, you go, every society, something or the other is followed. Muslims have their own fasting ways, Roza, they do 1 month. They don't eat whole day, they eat in the morning and then they eat in the evening. So like this, every society, not only our Hindu society, but every society has some kind of austerity they take. Because without austerity, there cannot be any progress. Now, that is for sure. There is no doubt about that. Austerity is required. But the difference is, what kind of austerity one should perform to get the highest, best result? That comes from the understanding of modes of nature. It's not only the how tough austerity it is. It's not that if it's more tough, then it will give a better result. It's not correct. It's the consciousness in which the austerity is performed that gives the higher result, which people don't understand. They think if I do a Nirjal Ekadashi, all Ekadashis without water, then I will get the highest result. But the fact is, it's more important than how much we are engaged in Krishna's service, how much we are thinking and meditating, how pure is our consciousness, how much we are striving, that determines our progress rather than the external things that we put on. So like this, there are many austerities that people perform, and all this is called Tapo Yajna, all this kind of different range of austerities. We can go on. There is no limit. People fast on Mondays, people fast on Tuesdays, and everyone follows different kind of systems. Some eat only in the evening, some eat once a day. Some will have, I will not eat these kind of things on this day. Some people, even those who eat meat, they also follow some breath, say, one day I don't eat meat. some people have like that. So they also follow that kind of austerity. So like this, there is innumerable number of austerities that people follow. And among them we can divide in various ways, according to modes of nature, according to their social systems and the consciousness, and various ways how they follow. But the best austerity for us that has been prescribed, Tapo Yajna for us, is getting up early in the morning, attending Mangalarati, chanting our rounds. This is our austerity. Following Ekadashi breath, offering pranams. This is our austerity. Taking only Krishna Prasadam, not eating anything otherwise. This is also an austerity. And this is austerity in highest consciousness. So this is our Tapo Yajna, and that we are supposed to follow. Then comes Yoga Yajna after that. So there are others who engage themselves in different kinds of mystic yoga, like the Patanjali system of yoga. Hatha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, there are many people. Now, there are so many yogis in India who are teaching different kinds of yoga systems, asana, pranayama, different kinds of exercises, some mind control, kundalini, jagran, a number of yoga techniques are there. So all those who are following this is called Yoga Yajna. And there again, there can be a full range of spectrum on different kinds of these kind of yogas that are there. And there are so many famous yoga teachers. Ultimately, all these yogas are meant to bring sense control so that one can connect with the Lord. That is the purpose. But most of the time this purpose is forgotten, and only what remains is this practice of physical exercises, some postures, some breathing exercise and like that, and the higher purpose is forgotten. But nevertheless, this is a type of yoga, this is a type of yajna, because people are practicing, doing something, so that either they want peace, they have some problems, they want peace, they want some health problems, they want relief from that. So they are doing this yajna, following this. This is not easy, it's not easy, but they are doing it, trying to do it. So that is called yoga yajna. Then after that, the fourth one is swadhyaya jnana yajna. Swadhyaya jnana yajna is there are others who engage themselves in the studies of different Vedic literatures, specifically the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutra and Sankhya philosophy. All these are called swadhyaya jnana. There are many people, many organizations who preach that we should study the Vedas, we should study this, they write books on that. They will study various Puranas and different kind of Vedic studies they do. And they think that by studying, we will develop, we will get proper knowledge and our consciousness will improve. And that is called Swadhyaya Yajna. So for us, the Swadhyaya Yajna is the study of Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and all these literatures. There are various other literatures, but we will not have the time and energy to study. The Vedic literature is unlimited. 18 Puranas, 4 Vedas, 108 Upanishads, various Tantras, various Sanhitas. Even to study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam itself, most of the devotees are unable to do it. So there is no need. This is the essence which has already been given and Vaishnava Prabhupada and our Acharyas, and this is sufficient. Whatever is given, if we study this properly, is sufficient and we will progress. So this will be our Swadhyaya Yajna. But there are various other devotee kind of practitioners who do various other Swadhyaya. They study this book, that book, and they will talk so many things. All these yogis, now summarizing this, Srila Prabhupada writes that all these yogis are faithfully engaged in different types of sacrifices and are seeking a higher status of life. This is the purpose. All of them doing different kind of sacrifices. We discussed so many types of sacrifices. All of them are seeking a higher status of life. Means they want to go above where they are. Sometimes they have some clarity where they want to go. Sometimes they don't have that clarity, but still they think, if I do this, I will move forward. So, but ultimately they know that by doing this sacrifice, I will move up. I will get something higher. But Krishna consciousness, however, is different from these because it is direct service of the Supreme Lord. This is the main distinction. In all these processes, all these yajnas, nowhere any connection to the Supreme Lord is mentioned. Means one can perform all these yajnas, all these type of sacrifices, without any understanding of personal God. One can do that. Like Dravya Yajna, one can open hospitals, one can open Anathalaya, give charity to the poor, one can do that. Tapo Yajna also, one can perform, one can do a lot of tapasya. Austerity and people are already doing different kind of tapasya without even believing that there is Krishna. They are doing it. Like the austerity I described in Tamil Nadu, they don't have any understanding of who is Krishna, but they are doing this tapasya. So people are doing that. Swadhyaya, there are so many people studying different type of Vedic literatures, especially the impersonalists. They don't believe in the personal form of Krishna, but they study a lot, and they may be very well versed in various scriptures. They can quote many shlokas. They study. Hare Krishna. So Krishna consciousness, but Krishna consciousness is different. Krishna consciousness is the process that directly connects us with the Lord. All other processes do not bring that connection. No matter how complex they may be, how detailed they may be, there may be austerities which are very detailed, but they do not bring that connection with the Absolute Truth. They do not bring that connection with the Lord. But the process of Krishna consciousness brings direct connection with this Absolute Truth. And that is why it is very different. And another difference is that in all other processes of yajna, we describe at least 20-30 type of yajnas we discussed. All these yajnas can be performed by one's own endeavor. But Krishna consciousness requires mercy from the Lord and His devotees. Without that we cannot progress. This is another big distinction. Other processes, one is dependent on one's own strength to progress. But in the devotional service, the progress is dependent on both. Our desire to progress, our efforts, at the same time the mercy of the Lord and His devotees. Then only we can progress. So this is the difference between these two processes. And that is why Krishna consciousness is transcendental. So after describing all these yajnas, at the end Srila Prabhupada writes in 2-3 lines to emphasize that one should not get swayed by these different type of yajnas and start engaging in all of them. It's not required for us. But we should understand what it is. Dravya yajna, tapo yajna, jnana yajna, swadhyaya yajna, all these yajnas are there, we should understand. But at the same time we must understand the distinction of these yajnas with the Krishna consciousness, which is called Sankirtan Yajna. This is also an yajna. This is called Sankirtan Yajna, Pranama Yajna. And in this age of Kali Yuga, this is the yajna which is prescribed the most for Kali Yuga. So now I think this whole thing is very, very clear here, that there are various types of yajnas prescribed in our Vedic literature, but Sankirtan Yajna is the highest and most prescribed for this age of Kali. And as we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, that in this age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically appeared to preach this Sankirtan Yajna. Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangashta Parshadam Yajnaiha Sankirtan Prayar Yajantihi Sumedasa. This Sankirtan Yajna is the yajna prescribed for this age, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to preach that. And he preached that Hararanam, Hararanam, Hararanam Iva Kevalam Kalav Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata. So this is the process. This is Harinam Yajna, Sankirtan Yajna, and that is most effective and prescribed for all of us. So we should stick to this process. At the same time, we understand the other processes also, and we understand where they stand in relation with our Sankirtan Yajna. So with this, I will end here. Thank you very much. I will respect Prabhuji if you have anything to say.
Sir, I have a question.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Prabhuji, yes. As you have correctly said, that when we are in the direct consciousness of Krishna, we are also in the direct connection with the Lord every time. But as a layman like me, to understand, candidly speaking, what should we do exactly? So the 21-7, we are in direct connection with the Lord, consciousness with Krishna. What should we do exactly, in simple words?
Yeah, this is a pertinent question for everybody.
I'm a layman.
Whether everybody is a layman.
I have very less knowledge. Simple words I want to understand.
So, with the blessings of the devotees, I will try to answer as I understand. For you specifically, because I do not know any of your background and what is your situation, so this question I cannot fully answer. But I can give a general guidelines.
General guidelines.
Because these kind of questions, what should I exactly do, that pertains to person to person. It will vary. Someone who is staying in the temple as a brahmachari, his duties will be different. Someone who is preaching outside will be different. Someone who is engaged in a job, government job or some job will be different. Someone who is running a business will be different.
For business purpose. For business purpose, how to do it? Specifically, I am asking you now.
So, but the general guidelines is, first of all, to understand that we are understand the purpose of life. Once we understand the purpose, then we start changing everything that lies on the way to attain to that purpose. Just like in your business, when you have a goal, you define some targets. First you define, I want to achieve this in 3 months or 5 months. Then you start molding everything. I need to make changes here, I need to change it here, I need to buy this, get this. You will do everything so that you get there. So first thing is to be very clear, what is my goal of life? And that is that we are all part and parcel of Krishna, and we have to attain to this level of consciousness where we have complete absorption in thinking about Krishna. This is our goal. Because I have limited time, so I will not go into very detail. Now, in your daily life, with this understanding, we have some processes to be followed so that our consciousness improves. So, if you can set aside some time to start with in your daily life as a routine in the morning or evening, where you do some practices and associate regularly with devotees, at least once a week if you can find some time, wherever you are in Delhi or wherever we have centers, visit there and associate with some devotees, and that should be a good start, I think. And as you start following, things will become more clear and you will know more what to do later. Everything will not be explained to you in the beginning itself. But once you connect to the process and connect to the devotees, things will start unfolding to you.
My last question is, if we continue to think of Krishna, we are thinking of Krishna, that means we are the consciousness of Krishna every time?
Yes, you are, but it's not as easy as said. It's not as easy to easily done as it said. To attain to this level requires a lot of practice, requires a lot of sacrifice, as we are discussing today. And association of devotees, proper understanding, mercy of the devotees, to get to that level.
So it's thinking only, thinking of Krishna every time.
But it's, as I said, thinking what about Krishna? We will think of someone only if we know about that person. You will not think of a person about whom you don't know anything. So unless you know in a very detail about Krishna, you will not be able to think about Krishna. Just like you have, suppose, your children. You think about your children because you know your children. If you are married, suppose, you have your wife, you know your wife, you know good qualities about your wife, you know some things, that's why you think and appreciate. So when we associate and hear from devotees, we come to know who Krishna is, what are his qualities, we will understand how great he is. When we know a lot about him, then we have something to think about him.
This is the best way.
Yes.
To be conscious of Krishna.
Yes. And we engage in some service to him in association with devotees, and this way we progress.
Thank you, Prabhuji, so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I have a question. Nowadays you have seen we are the followers of the Bhakti Yoga, devotional service, and yoga simultaneously and some dhyan. Because nowadays a lot of trending yoga is there all over India, all over the world. Yeah. So some of the sessions I have attended in the dhyan sessions also, in which they tell you can focus on everyone in the dhyan, you know. So, does it amount to deviating from the process of devotional service when you attend these yoga classes or dhyan classes? Or can you for your health purpose, like for health consciousness, or of yoga trainers or the yoga teachings are there? So, does it amount to deviating from the bhakti yoga process?
It depends on who the yoga teacher is. If the yoga teacher is a devotee, then for health purposes, if it's done, it's all right. There is not much problem there. But when they preach something which is not directly in line with Krishna consciousness, then it may not be very useful. So when we say doing meditation or dhyan, the question comes, what is the object of meditation? What are we meditating on? If that object is not very clear,
if the object is Krishna, then
it's all right. But that also is, someone can say, but a person who is not a devotee, he will not clearly know what to meditate on Krishna. Krishna, it's very vague. So for health purposes, if someone is doing some practices, it's all right, there is no problem there. But for our meditation process, the best meditation process we have is that we chant Krishna's names and we try to hear that name. That is the meditation. And this is sufficient for us. This is the best yoga. We can sit down, we chant and carefully try to hear that name. This is a meditation and it's very, very effective. So that is the best process of meditation. That's all I can say. Yeah. So there are, of course, a large number, of yoga systems prevalent in India, and everybody preaches something or the other. I cannot comment on what they are preaching, unless I know specifically, I cannot say. But all I can say is, if we are talking about meditation, this is the best meditation, and we should just focus, because we have limited time in our life. We have not much time to experiment on so many things. Once we have understood that this is the highest and best philosophy and it's very clear, then we should just stick and continue. That should be enough.
Chanting should be the best yoga.
Yes, chanting is best yoga. Yes. Okay. Okay, so we end here. Thank you very much. If anyone has anything else to say, Hare Krishna.